Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Yes, indeed, it is that time. It's a Thursday at 11 o'clock. We talked to Blair Kirchhoff, our college insider. What's the matter? Why are you always shaking? Why are you shaking your head?
No reason.
No reason.
Still has a hue, you like, guys.
If it didn't bother you, we'd change it. So, you know, you make it so easy for us to stay the course.
We have to, with
what we're doing there with the Open. You know, we're constantly tweaking things, and so, but I'm not seeing that one going anywhere, to be frank.
That's actually one of the more complimentary Opens.
Yeah.
You may just want to, you know, take your winnings and
just roll with it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, I'm checking down to the silent laughter now when you guys crack me up, so there will not be any audible laughter coming from me.
No, okay. All right, good to know. So, want to make sure that we got you
flustered, yes.
You know, on target. On target is what I like
off,
to.
A little off balance, a little.
Yeah.
People like that you laugh, though. I mean, that's one of the things that's endearing about you, is that you will guffaw, chortle.
I will. And you guys are pretty good at making me chortle.
It's our job, Blair. Let's spend, I'm sure, a decent amount of time talking to Bob Graber later about the law. Because that's what sports has become. When there's this much money involved in American sports, lawsuits galore. But how about this Rick Pitino? I mean, does he not have the kind of intelligence around him that clearly we here in this room possess? Didn't we say, just shut up, go away.
Lay low
for a couple years and come back as an analyst. All will be forgiven. But when you spout off about suing everybody and you're going to get your $44 million, you damn well better be okay. And now an indictment's coming down on him, right?
Yeah.
So that could mean jail time.
What is it about his personality that he can't stay away from being in the middle of everything?
Right.
It's really interesting how anybody who has any love for him or any interest in him would advise him to please stay out of the news for an extended period, for a year, whatever. Everybody who wants to get back in it gets back in it in some way. Dave Bliss has gotten back into coaching.
Yeah. I mean,
if that's his ultimate goal, to get back into coaching someday, just go away and lay low. Let people forget about it. Let people build up a forgiveness for you. Let everybody else start taking hits in college basketball, which is likely to happen, and then you circle back.
You ready for my theory? He's broke. And I don't know anybody who got into the racehorse business and did well.
No, that's
right? And he's all over it.
I hadn't thought about that, but he is. That's been...
The racehorse business is a toy business, right? You need to be really wealthy, and he is rich.
You need to be a Saudi prince.
Right? Yeah, you need that. You need, I mean, honest to God, wealth. And when you want to know what the difference is between rich and wealth, you turn to the great American philosopher Chris Rock. Shaq is rich. The guy who signs his check is wealthy. Rick Pitino made great money, $8 million a year for the last few years,
sure,
or something, $3-4 million a year before that.
One of the top paid guys.
He's rich, but he's not wealthy. And it takes honest to God wealth if you're going to get knee deep in that horse business. It is not a winning proposition. It is not a good business to go into.
That would be a good story if that was the case. That would be a great story to read because we know he's involved. We know he's involved in the horses, has been since his days at Kentucky before Louisville.
We know he's a bright guy. You don't have the success he had without being a bright guy. If you can't see the writing on the wall that, listen, it is time to retreat, man. George Washington retreated. He's the founding father, right? He retreated to the woods.
Had to.
Came back to win another day. It's not always press forward. Press forward.
Yeah, no, it's jail time is a possibility for him. as it is for other basketball coaches, but it is for him as well. As long as we're going down this road, the UCLA basketball players in China.
Well, I've got that here in a second. We'll get to that in a second because I did want to talk about that because they're talking about a month.
Yes.
Month. So I do think that's significant. But also on this college basketball thing is they fired Chuck Person. Right? He's been suspended. We assumed the firing was coming. They fired him. No big deal. But reports are that Bruce Pearl is not cooperating.
Yeah.
There's another guy who's done.
Yep.
I mean, he's done. You come back after a show cause, you get a shot at a real program, and then what are you thinking?
I don't know. That one, all I saw was the headline on that story that Bruce Pearl was refused to cooperate. And I'm like, are you kidding? That can't be right.
I mean, yeah.
That's what his attorneys are telling him, refuse to cooperate here?
Yeah, I was absolutely stunned on that. I was like, these are two things. I mean, I'm not stunned that they're eventually getting to Bruce Pearl. We all kind of felt like it. But refusing to cooperate? Well, resign. I mean, he's not going to resign because he wants his buyout. But you're not. I mean, this is with cause.
There, right? There must be some strategy here on his part. There has to be, right? I mean,
Yes.
You don't not cooperate in this. You're dead to rights. I mean, they've got you.
Yeah. I wanted to get through some of the other news. What do you think about? Let's talk about that. LiAngelo Ball and two other UCLA players arrested for shoplifting Louis Vuitton sunglasses in China.
Next to the team hotel, in a store next to the team hotel.
What is it? Midnight Cowboy? Urban Cowboy? Well, Midnight Cowboy. Right?
John Voight and.
No. That's Urban Cowboy.
No, that's not.
Oh, it's not? It's Midnight Cowboy?
That was Midnight Cowboy.
Well, what was. Urban Cowboy is John Travolta. No. What? Midnight Express.
There you go.
Ooh,
clearly
there you go.
The team has not seen the movie Midnight Express. For the younger ones out there, it's a movie about a guy who's trying to smuggle
I think it was heroin.
Out of Turkey.
Yeah, it was Turkey.
It ends up in a Turkish prison. And what his life's like in the Turkish prison is the subject. That's scared an entire generation out of the smuggling business.
Creeped me out, that movie. Oh, my God.
Oh, it was like, you're
it
like,
shook
oh, my
me
God.
And I was a teen. You know, I was a
78.
Bulletproof teenager, and that movie shook me up.
I mean, it absolutely, to me, is, you know, why you don't mess around when you're overseas. You know, I tell my kids, they're 7-Eleven, we don't mess around going through security at the airport. I'm going to tell you right now, we're coming through. Best behavior.
No jokes.
No
fooling around.
And they're good. But, I mean, I stress that. Like, I'm not messing around with airport security. And I think sometimes you get a jerk in airport security. Usually not. And they're just like, oh, look, I've got power over you. But you know, I don't understand how you could do that.
No.
And he wasn't the only one.
Three UCLA players who apparently are so destitute. And it must have been so sunny out that they had to go get these sunglasses. And I'm joking here because college basketball players have everything now. And they just did it for kicks, right? They did it for a prank, and they got caught shoplifting in China.
They're talking about a month, that they will be in China for a month.
Yeah.
And supposedly somebody at UCLA finally did tell LeVar Ball to shut up.
Yes, that's why. Yeah, LeVar. So, but that didn't. Of course, that didn't stop the media from going to him. But he has zipped his lip on this.
Maybe this is the best thing for him that he realizes. Okay, my dad thinks he can spout off, do whatever. I can do whatever, and this is his wake up call. But unbelievable that would happen. Also on the basketball side, Bob Huggins 4-year extension. That's great news for West Virginia fans.
Oh yeah. He is,
and I assume it means his health is good.
I think it is.
He had that fainting incident last year.
I think he talked about that at Big 12 Media Days last month in Kansas City. He says he's fine. He looked good, and you know, who doesn't like Bob Huggins? You know,
there are people, but I don't get it.
I guess. And look, he, you know, back in those Cincinnati days, he had some pretty hard teams, and there were some teams that didn't make great impressions. But he's a brilliant coach. I think he's going to end up in the Hall of Fame one day. Even he's been to a couple of Final Fours with two different teams. I'm a big Bob Huggins guy.
The consistency with which he gets his players to play at max
intensity. Nobody gets less talent to play harder than he does. Yes.
And he gets decent talent.
He does get decent talent, but he doesn't have NBA talent.
He gets a ton out of it.
He doesn't have NBA talent. Javon Carter's not an NBA player, and he's
and part of the reason is that he does work them like that. But, but his consistency has been amazing.
And it's good for West Virginia that he's hooked up.
It is, and so I hope it means that his health is good, because I love Bob Huggins. A great quote. He's absolutely fantastic. So I think that's, and I think it's great for the Big 12 as well, because you need somebody in there to be doing something besides KU.
I love how his teams have played at Allen Fieldhouse too. They haven't beaten them, but they've come close a couple times, and they're not afraid to go in. They don't roll over when they come to Allen Fieldhouse.
And within a sport where the players, you know, filter in and out, having big stars as coaches is certainly.
Oh, I agree.
A huge
the coaches
plus.
Are the stars. I mean, they're absolutely the star. So I think that's huge. One other basketball note: Alabama keeps being mentioned in this scandal. Is it just a matter of time before Avery Johnson's out? Are we finding out that their great recruiting classes are just a product of Avery Johnson jumping right in with the shoe company business?
It makes you wonder a little bit, but I don't know that.
Or did he naively hire a guy? This guy's got a great reputation for being a recruiter. It turns out that the guy is. It's all isolated there.
But we know that Auburn's hip deep in that, and maybe the talking has already started. You know, there's no love lost between those two programs, and you know, if Auburn's going down, maybe you know they're going to take Alabama with them. I just don't know, but that's a stay tuned. And they did have a, you know, like if Missouri didn't have its recruiting class, we'd all be, you know, the whole Alabama's recruiting class would be one of the talks of the nation for. You know, where'd this come from all of a sudden? Kind of like Mississippi's football recruiting class that year that landed that program in trouble.
Oh, yeah. And it's for a couple of years. And everybody said, wait a minute. What's going on here? This seems too good to be true.
Right. Cost Hugh Freeze's job.
One other basketball note, and that's Iowa State and Missouri. Missouri fans are excited. Iowa State is down. What were they picked preseason?
Eighth or ninth, I think.
Eighth or ninth. And they're not – none of the – I don't see any spreads for anybody yet for Friday night's game, which I don't get.
Yeah, that should be out. Nobody has a regular season game
before.
See
if you can find a spread on that. Because I'm curious. Because I think it's going to tell us a lot, because I've heard some people talking, and there's kind of a feeling like this is little more for Missouri than, you know, Weber State or something coming in. I mean, I
– Think about when this game was scheduled last November – where Iowa State was and where Missouri was.
Right.
And I talked to Steve Prohm about this a couple weeks ago. That when that game came across his desk, Iowa State had the option to schedule Missouri or Clemson. And he said, look, either one would have been fine. Either opponent would have been fine. But he thought, you know, it's kind of neat. And let's get back into the Big 12. Let's kind of keep it local. And Missouri's going to return the trip the following year. And their fans, I think, their fans would enjoy that. And he says... Now look at what he scheduled. You know, he scheduled the team that's going to, you know, that changed its coach, that brought in the top five recruiting class, that's going to fill its building, you know, for the first time in 4 or 5 years. He says it's not what they bargained for when they scheduled that game. All of a sudden it's now one of the more interesting games in the country on the opening weekend.
And hasn't it flipped from exactly where Missouri was in that scrimmage game against Kansas, where they had nothing to lose and Kansas was the one that had to win? What if they don't win?
Yeah,
like, everyone's talking about Missouri and when they win and they're the favorite and they're going to get it done. But what if they don't win?
Yeah, that'll burst the bubble a little bit if Missouri doesn't win this game. Missouri, I don't know who their second scrimmage was against. After they played Kansas, they scrimmaged, I think, Wisconsin. One of those closed scrimmages. There's no media allowed, and they ended up losing to Wisconsin by a handful of points. But I think Wisconsin's the favorite in the Big Ten, or one of the top three in the Big Ten this year. So a representative effort by the Tigers in that game, and I'm fully confident that Missouri's going to win this game. I was up at Iowa State earlier this week and was talking to some basketball people, and I think they're. they're braced for a transition year, roster transition year at Iowa State. Now, Monte Morris isn't there. Deonte Burton isn't there.
Well, they're going to finally start being more of a defensive team.
They have to be, and try to keep the, you know, here they are flying up and down the floor and throwing in three-pointers, and they're going to have to slow it down a little bit and elongate the possessions.
Is there any chance we're completely underestimating the Cyclones?
Always a chance. I mean, how do you – they've been to six or seven straight NCAA tournaments. They have muscle memory of winning there. You know, even though there's only a handful of players that showed up in an Iowa State uniform last year, there's pride in that program. Yeah, they're going to come down and play. They're going to be well coached. They're going to give it a good shot. But this is Missouri's coming out party. This is if you know, the Kansas game certainly was, but now it's for real. Now it's for keeps. And I think I think Missouri wins the game, but they got to be prepared to play a well coached, championship level, a Big 12 championship tournament level team with a, you know, that's going to come in there and not be intimidated by the surrounding.
I'm trying to look at what Iowa State is bringing back, and it's not
a
lot.
Nothing. No, they lose their top five or six guys. Their best player is probably going to end up being that freshman, Wigginton, freshman from Canada. Really good player. They only beat Emporia State the other day in a scrimmage by 15 or so. So there's a little.
So Missouri better win this.
Yes.
And it'll be a big turn the Cheerios if they don't.
It'll be a pretty deflating loss. Listen, all we've done since the end of last basketball season is talk about what Missouri can be about. And every piece of news with Missouri has been good. It's been positive. It's been fun. And now there's really something on the line for Missouri. Now when that game tips off at 8 o'clock on Friday night, now it's on the line, and now you got to produce. I think it will. I liked what I saw in that Kansas game for sure, but there's pressure now. Now there's a little bit of pressure.
Now we're keeping score.
Yeah. Keeping score.
All right, we'll take a break, come back, talk college football, Mizzou's resurrection, K-State getting a huge win against Texas Tech. Are those two schools going bowling? Where is Kansas? The quarterback did not back up his great performance from the week before. Also talk college football playoffs. Next with Blair Kirkhoff. He's brought to you by Robert Brogdon, Buick GMC.
All right, the Westport Flea Market end of the hour answer. Andre Drummond's streak is at 11. What player holds the NBA record for consecutive games with at least 12 rebounds? The number is 16.
And this can go the history of the NBA?
History of the NBA.
Back when players like Will Chamberlain?
Yes.
Played in the NBA?
What was the question?
Andre Drummond has had at least 12 rebounds in all 11 right. games. This is the last 40 seasons, actually.
Okay, then that changes.
Who has the record for most, in the last 40 seasons, most consecutive games with at least 12 rebounds? The number is 16 games.
So it takes us back to 77, so it wouldn't be Chamberlain.
Nope.
Right, or Nate Thurman.
DeAndre Jordan.
I was going to go Charles Oakley.
Dwight Howard.
Nope.
Dennis Rodman.
Nope. Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer? Moses Malone.
Moses Malone.
There you go.
Kevin Love has the second longest streak.
Yeah, he had a big rebound year. I know I had him on my team that year. Good times, baby. Good times. Moses Malone, who passed away, right? I'm pretty sure he passed away like a year or two ago, didn't he? Or was that Daryl Dawkins? Was I getting him confused with Daryl Dawkins?
Let me see.
I was thinking Moses passed away. 913-3-810-810, the phone number. Phone lines aren't open. Don't know why I gave you that. Blair Kirkhoff's with us here, brought to you by Robert Brogdon, Buick GMC, I-35 in Santa Fe.
Moses Malone passed away September 13th, 2015.
Yeah, and it wasn't too long ago.
Great player.
Oh, tremendous great player. Drew Lock, number two on the Missouri passing touchdown list.
And leads the nation, right?
Yeah, and is now throwing touchdowns against teams that we would call higher caliber teams, against Florida. I don't know. I mean, if you want to be glasses half empty, then you'd be like, well, Florida sucks. They've quit on the year. But starting with that Georgia game, as we've talked about, they've now won three in a row. They put themselves in position to legitimately talk about going to a bowl game, and sitting at 4-5 right now, Tennessee at Vanderbilt and at Arkansas. Are we at a point that if they can't take two out of those three, the bar is now backup for Missouri?
Yes.
And there's going to be disappointment and anger if they don't make a bowl game now?
The way they're winning, yes. Yes, there is. You put the pass behind and the Purdue game, the Auburn game, those were horrible, horrible outcomes for the Tigers and the way they played and the way Barry Odom handled the post games and those. But the last month, it's been fantastic for Missouri, and they're crushing opponents, playing great offense, playing good enough defense, and the remaining schedule looks favorable starting Saturday. 10 point, is it 10 now? 10.5 point favorite over Tennessee. Yeah, they're both 4-5, but going in opposite directions. I fully expect Missouri to win a couple of games and get bowl eligible and be where they were where I thought they would be at the beginning of the season, which was a 6-16.
It's 11.
It's 11 now. All right. So and it doesn't mean that necessarily Barry Odom has calmed all the fans. There's still a sense of, oh, great, he's going to win these games and we're not going to get a new coach. So I think what he's going to do now, if he wins all three and gets to 7-5 and goes and plays a bowl game, like if Michigan would bottom out or something, and he goes and beats Jim Harbaugh in a bowl game, or I don't even know what bowls are on their line, what they could end up with.
There's a bunch of them.
They could end up with a Big 12 team. They go beat Matt Campbell in Iowa State.
Right.
They in a game, because I know there's a Big 12 SEC matchup along the way there somewhere. You get one of those and you're 8-5 and you beat Matt Campbell, you beat Jim Harbaugh, you beat one of those, you beat a name brand program, then maybe it's a little bit different. But what he has at least done is kick the can down the road.
Well, yeah. I mean, you get credit for the entire season. And, when it was when things were looking down and gloomy at Missouri, he was wearing that. And it was fair to talk about the future of Missouri, a future without him at Missouri. But now that they've put it together, and the Florida win was terrific, and if they can do this, something similar at Tennessee, you get credit for that too. I didn't think if Missouri doesn't go to a bowl game, he's going to be back as the coach next year. It's going to happen. I'm convinced.
He's done enough already now that talk is done.
Yes. No. I mean, they would have to do something really unusually bad. I mean, like lose huge in these last three games to rekindle that discussion, I think. But so he's back. So Missouri's off the market. Keep Tennessee, keep Arkansas, keep Nebraska, keep those, those are hot seats, but Missouri's seat is not hot anymore, and I think they're heading to a bowl game.
What are the expectations for next year? I mean, because then next year is going to be a big year for him. He's going to need to back that up.
Well, he would have gone. Let's give him 6-6 this year. Let's say they win two out of three. They will have improved by two games. They would have gone from 4-8 to 6-6, and I think Missouri should think of itself as a program that has winning seasons and competes in the middle to the top of the division and not middle to bottom of the division. And so that's where Missouri needs to be, 4-4 or better in the division.
How about if I told you there are 6 starters and then 8 more on the 2-deep seniors, and that's it?
Well, Drew Lock.
Drew Lock's not one.
No.
He's not a senior. He's a junior. So they'll have the quarterback, and the only seniors listed on the 2-deep that I'm looking at, that's from November 1st.
And we don't think Drew Lock's going out.
No. He better not. He shouldn't. But then again, quarterbacks are a weird market. Jamon Moore and Ish Witter.
And they seem to have got running back figured out now.
And then the starters on defense that are seniors are Jordan Harold, A.J. Logan, Marcel Frazier, and Anthony Sherrills.
Sherrills was coming off the big game. Tennessee's going to have a new coach next year.
I'm just saying that should be a team that, if it's a 6-6 team and brings back that many players, the expectations will again be 8-4.
Yeah, you're going to start with Georgia.
Or better.
And that you're going to start with Georgia and then seed the division after that. And Florida's starting over, Tennessee's starting over, South Carolina looks like they've got, and Kentucky are now, contenders now where they weren't in the past. No, but Missouri's in that mix for expectation next year. Maybe it goes to 8, maybe. But I assume Missouri, and I think all SEC teams, you assume they win just about all their non-conference games. So I look at the division record or the conference record, and I think Missouri has to be 4-4 or better. I just think that's a program that should be 4-4 or better. In the East, if you're in the West, it's maybe a little when you're Alabama, Auburn, you know, LSU every year. Sometimes A&M, it's maybe a little different, but in the East, you should be 4-4 or better.
So Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and Arkansas were saying 2-1. What if it is 0-3? Because then that's 1-7 in the league.
I know, and
4-8,
and 2 years in a row 1-7. That's.
I think they do have to tick off one more win.
That'll happen this weekend. They're going to beat Tennessee.
You think so?
Yep.
At Vanderbilt.
I think they'll be favored at Vanderbilt. If they win Saturday, they're going to be. I think they'll be favored at Vanderbilt, and then Arkansas. What did Arkansas do last weekend? They were losing to Coastal Carolina in the fourth quarter. Yeah. A 1-7 Coastal Carolina team in the fourth quarter. It's grim at Arkansas.
You're saying 39-38 over Arkansas is not exactly, or over Coastal Carolina is not exactly what they were looking for. Is that what you're trying to tell me, Blair?
Maybe. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that is correct.
After being down 13 in the fourth quarter?
Yes, to the Chanticleers.
K-State gets a big win against Texas Tech.
That was huge. Huge for K-State to get. And I was at the – I know you were at Texas-TCU last weekend.
Right.
I was at Oklahoma-Oklahoma State. That game's on in the press box. I look up, and Texas Tech is up 11 early in the fourth quarter. And then I had to write something, and I didn't get to pay attention to the last few minutes of that game. And I look up, and I see they're in overtime. How did that happen?
Well, where is the quarterback position with that team moving forward?
Well, moving forward?
Immediately, this weekend, where is it?
Nobody seems to know for sure.
Well, does Bill Snyder know?
I don't know. I don't know what's the best option for them? Is it Delton? Is it Skylar Thompson? Certainly, has gone 2 wins. You know, had played. You know, they started the Kansas and the Texas Tech game. Played really well toward the end of the Tech game. Do you ride with him? Is it a case where you get bowl eligibility and then you start playing for next year with your quarterback and getting Skylar Thompson the reps, all the reps?
Do you look at one and definitively say one's better than the other?
I don't say definitively. Not definitively. I think Thompson is better. I don't know if it's if it's definitively better.
So what is it that Bill Snyder? Let's assume that he is better. What's he doing? Is this just you come in, you put in your time, you're going to get your years?
That's a good question. What's the thought process here on who plays and how it goes? And do you have more faith in people who have taken more reps? What are you seeing in practice? Who's getting the reps in practice? I think it all goes into the equation, but Skylar Thompson was really good in that fourth quarter. Had to be really good when I went back and watched it.
Because what is he going to do? Run Alex Delton out there? Is he going to run Jesse Ertz back out there next year if he gets that year of eligibility? Then he's going to run Alex Delton out there for 1 year, and he's going to run Skylar Thompson for 1 year? You tell me how you recruit anybody.
No, you don't.
To the quarterback position when everybody just gets their 1 year.
Right.
I don't care what – I mean, you can't. I mean – I really feel like if quarterbacks aren't transferring out of your program, you're not doing it right.
Which is what's happened at K-State. Daniel Sam went out, a couple years ago?
Yes, yeah.
It does happen there. And I suspect that's we could see that. We could see that next year with K-State. Somebody leaving who, you know, after spring ball or as it shakes out.
The good news, you know, is they've got options. But he needs to make the right one, and he needs to get moving. I mean – they come back for another year of Jesse Ertz. If Alex Delton gets a year just as a thank you year, I don't know that you entrust where you're going now.
I don't know if he's done enough though. We knew what the pecking order. We knew what the depth chart was going into the season, and it's played out that way, right? Ertz gets hurt. Delton's the guy. Delton gets hurt. Skylar Thompson comes in when they're all and each of them have done something to make you a little bit optimistic about the position, but when they're all healthy and you're starting fresh, what should be the depth chart there? That's do they have too many quarterbacks? Do they have too many guys that they think can get it done for them? And if that's the case, they're not going to keep all three of them. They're just not.
At Texas, Oklahoma, at Oklahoma State, Kansas is going to finish 1-11.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Not in the game against Baylor. They did have their first gotcha moment. The fake punt, they clearly had seen that Baylor gets out of Dodge on the punt return.
That was a smart. It was good play.
It was good coaching.
Very good play.
Right there, they saw something on tape. Although the kid fell down.
Well, fell down, and they didn't. And I don't, did they? Did they?
It was 3-on-1 blocking, and he falls down a yard past the line of scrimmage.
Well, gets the first
or past
down.
The first down. I mean,
but and they did they? I don't think they scored, or they got a field goal maybe off that possession. They didn't
I don't
get
know.
A touchdown.
I spent
but that
a lot
was
of time on that game.
That was their problem against Baylor. Is they were kicking field goals. Baylor scoring touchdowns, and KU's kicking field goals. Well, it was still a competitive game, and then Baylor ran away. And I didn't think Kansas was going to win that game. I know Baylor was 0-8, but it's a better team.
It was their last chance. We wouldn't have been stunned if they did. We'd have said, okay, the problems at Baylor are greater than we think, but. You know, Carter Stanley gets banged up a little bit. Peyton Bender comes in there. I mean, they have to stay the course with Stanley, right?
I think they do. Here's the thing about Kansas that I know there are only 3 games left, but you've got 3 games now Kansas doesn't have an identity on offense. They had a guy rush for 290 yards earlier this year, and they had Stanley throw for 418 against K-State. What are you? Get an identity and build to that. Stick with it be something, and I can't figure out what they're trying to be.
I think for sure there's going to be a change of defensive coordinator at the end of the year,
which would be big news at Kansas.
Clint
Bowen has been played there. Was always coached except for a couple of years. I think is always coached there, and that would be big if they change that position.
I think that
something has to happen.
Is there going to be a change in offensive coordinator as well? I mean, the consensus everywhere is David Beatty staying put.
Yes, I think that's true. I think that's going to happen.
What about the athletic director?
But that means there has to be shakeup on the staff. There's got to be a signal to the fans that this isn't going to be tolerated.
And can you really go get some heavyweight home run hitter when everybody's like, well, listen, I'm coming in for like the last year? I mean, what are you going to be able to actually go out and hire?
They thought that they did with Doug Meacham. They got TCU's offensive coordinator in there and co-coordinator and. Again, I don't know what their offensive identity is, and on the defensive side, as you mentioned, look, they've got Joe Dineen's playing really that linebacker's really good for them, really really good. I think he's going to be an all conference player. And Wise and Armstrong, they've got some players on defense, and they can't seem to get their secondary is just really really bad, and they can't get it together.
All right, we'll take a break, come back, talk about the college football playoffs, what it looks like for the Big 12. That's next here in the program. We're talking to Blair Kirkhoff of the Kansas City Star. He's brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. They're at I-35 in Santa Fe, online at robertbrogdon.com. Great time right now to go over to Robert Brogdon's. I-35 in Santa Fe, as I said, get 0% for 72 months on the 17 GMC Yukons. Sierra LD double cabs up to $11,000 off with your trade. It's at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, number one volume Buick GMC dealership in the metro for a reason. They're going to get you the best deal on a new or pre-owned car, truck, or SUV. Blair, what do we think about how the playoffs are shaping up? You know, they've done some interesting things in their rankings. You know, being a guy who votes in the AP poll, and I know how the playoff poll is the one that then jumps and gets all the attention, and I get it because it's the one that's going to go in there. But I also think, and it's not very different, to be honest with you, a higher appreciation, I guess, for TCU, flip-flopping Georgia and Alabama. What I see there is basically they're setting up a playoff bracket beforehand. It almost seems to me like they're doctoring this thing up to where they don't have any decisions to make.
Well, I don't know about that.
Or is it just coincidentally lining up that way for them?
I trust that committee. You know, we certainly have known, we know somebody who's on that committee, Steve Weberg, the mm-hmm. former reporter at USA Today, and I've known some of the people who are on that committee. And we all know Bill Hancock. So I don't think they're rigging it. I don't think they're purposely.
Well, open your eyes, Kirkhoff.
I guess.
Nah, I'm kidding.
I guess. But let's just take the Georgia-Alabama thing.
All right.
I think that's legit. I think they've determined that that Alabama beat a Florida State team and ran away in the second half DeAndre Francois went out of the game, the quarterback. And Florida State hasn't been the same since. And Georgia beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame, and I think they're giving a lot of weight to that
victory.
But
what else have they done?
Well, what else has Alabama done?
Well, I mean, from that standpoint, winning at Ohio State should have put Oklahoma ahead of Georgia last week. Now I get the Buckeyes lose, and that changes the dynamics of what that win looks like.
It does, and I think they.
But they didn't. It didn't cost the Buckeyes lose, and OU
stayed number five, right? Because Notre Dame and Clemson didn't. You know, they both won and didn't stay and didn't move out of the top four. The top four stayed the same. Oklahoma mm-hmm. stayed. That was an impressive win by Oklahoma at Oklahoma State, and they stayed five. TCU going to six was, where was TCU the week before that?
They were 8 or 9.
Yeah,
they hopped up
over Ohio State and Penn State, whoever was 8, you know, in those positions last week.
I'm bringing up week 10 for you here. Week 10, that was Georgia, Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, OU, Ohio State 6, Penn State 7, TCU 8. So they just bumped up in front of the two teams that lost. Well,
yeah. And look,
so then,
I don't know where TCU was in the AP poll this week. I don't think they were sixth. I think they were lower than sixth.
In the AP poll this week, TCU, yeah, they're eight. Which, by the way, I got them eight, and I'll stand by that. Wisconsin and Miami haven't beaten a lot, but they haven't lost either.
I'm more impressed with Miami week by week. That Virginia Tech win was nice for Miami.
But so riddle me this, Batman. A one-point loss to Georgia, a win – a decisive 20-point win at Michigan State, a 35-point win against USC, a 21-point win against NC State, and then an 11-point win against a good Wake team. And there's a couple of good teams on Georgia's schedule, right?
Yeah, but you're saying Notre Dame should be higher.
Mississippi State, 31-3 over Mississippi State is the second-best win for Georgia. Well, I get the head-to-head thing.
But the overall resume
of Notre Dame is better than Georgia's.
It is, but the head-to-head is the easiest. It's the easiest tiebreaker, and it was.
So why isn't Alabama three?
And it was at Notre Dame.
If it's about your resume, why isn't Alabama three?
You could make the case that Alabama should be three. You could.
Yeah, because
I imagine that gets discussed by the committee.
Because I love how everyone's like, okay, well, this is why Georgia. Because I mean, who has Alabama beaten? Right, exactly. Who have they beaten?
Right.
I mean, if we're going to go just on resume, I mean,
there's some reputation.
Florida State.
There.
Well, that's a turd.
It is now.
Now you want to say, well, they're the ones who knocked the quarterback out, so they were going to be great.
And it was in the second. It was in the second.
Maybe,
half,
but Florida State. I mean, Syracuse had them on the ropes, for God's sake, and we can kick a field goal. Fresno, no. Colorado State, no. Vandy, no. Ole Miss, no. A&M, no. Arkansas, no. Tennessee, no. LSU is the next best win, 24-10. And they're a top 40. They're 20-40.
Yeah.
They bounce around in that spot for me, 20-40. I mean, that's what I don't get. They're giving Alabama credit, but Georgia's resume is better. Well, so is Notre Dame's.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. Why is Alabama as high as? And of course, all the Alabama fans are in arms because they're not number one in this.
Oh, yeah, and I get it. Either you eye test it and go with pedigree. Pedigree says Alabama till somebody slaps them is Alabama, and you make them number one, and that's why they're number one in mine. I get it. The Georgia resume is better. Like I said, I think the OU better resume is better. I think the ND resume is better. You do it one of two ways. If you've got like a quantifiable system where it's based on, you know, what you've earned along the way, you can't keep crediting a win against Florida State like you beat the number two team in the country.
No, but listen, they do get, and I would think that this would be part of the discussion there. They did beat Florida State at Florida State's best, and when Florida State lost the quarterback, changed everything about the Seminoles. So, and Florida State's awful now, right? 2-5, or so everybody's beating Florida State.
Yeah, everyone but us. We can't kick a field goal to tie it.
That's right. But everybody else is beating Florida State. So your point's a good one, and it's all gonna. There have been 3 years of the college football playoff, and except for the very first year when number five Ohio State jumped, you know, number three at that time TCU and got in and created the fervor in the Big 12. I think. And even that, I think, was justifiable. I think every playoff bracket has been the right four teams, and I wouldn't be surprised. The potential problem this year is Notre Dame getting in, a second SEC team getting in, the loser of Alabama, Georgia, and now you've got champions of three conferences. You know, maybe the Big Ten, Big 12, Pac 12 champion not getting in.
Well, and does Wisconsin even deserve to be in? Well, I mean, if they get by Iowa and Michigan the next couple of weeks, that's going to be pretty good.
It's going to be tough. It's going to even undefeated Wisconsin with the schedule that they would have played, you could argue that they don't belong in.
Yeah, if Michigan beats Ohio, I mean, if they beat Michigan State or a two-loss Michigan or a two-loss Penn State, I mean, what is that? Look, the way it shapes up, the games that are going to matter, Georgia-Alabama in the conference championship game. Georgia's got a tough game this week against Auburn. That could really turn this thing upside down. Wisconsin's got Iowa and Michigan. Those are their tough ones. TCU and OU play this week's going to eliminate one of them.
And maybe a second game.
And maybe a second game, which will eliminate the other one in all likelihood. And Notre Dame and Miami are going to be an elimination game. I don't know. Four is so unsatisfying, period. End of discussion. It's not enough.
I agree.
Doesn't
agree.
Do it.
Eight.